Yo, King. Hey, ready? It's the new swag, baby. Woke up this morning and I told myself, not one word about what I cannot help. People dying innocently, hate is spreading rapidly. I'm not talking apathy, but some things gotta tell him.
Work.
Oh, he's got
work.
Yeah.
I'm gonna work it out for you.
It is what it is. Hold up. Why?
God's got it.
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 Yes, he does.
God's got it.
God's got it.
God's got it. God's got it. God's got it. God's got it.
I look around, my heart is a little heavy. The money's fading fast and I'm looking for a blessing. People looking for jobs,
no one looking for God.
I know that you heard, but in time God is really gonna
work. He's gonna work.
Yeah. He's gonna
work.
He's gonna
work.
Yeah. I'ma let him do it.
I ain't gonna worry about the money in the bank.
I ain't gonna worry about it. I can't worry about it.
I ain't gonna worry about the gas in the tank.
I know who supplies my needs.
I ain't gonna worry about the things I can't control.
So God is in control.
I ain't gonna worry about it.
God's got it. When you're losing strength and your confidence, God's got it. When your money's spent, can't pay the rent, God's got it.
God's got it. God got it, baby. God loves you. God got you. Do not worry. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't have to worry about nothing. God's got your back. God's got your knee. God will supply your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The world needs to understand that God got you. And that's why we're coming to this message today. We're welcoming you live to Love and Faith Healing Ministry, where God is doing mighty things, where God is changing lives. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Another awesome worship service this morning. The Sunday school lesson was good. God's word is good. It's good all the time. Amen. Glory to God. God got you. God got it. God got what you need. God got your healing. God got your deliverance. God got your new house. God got your new car. God gave you peace. God gave you strength. God got you. You need to understand that. And many times in life we don't realize that God has the best for us. God has a plan for your life. He has a plan and purpose for your life. He said the plan that I have for you are good. Amen. Amen. You need to know that God has a plan for your life and it is good. I don't care what individual you are. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for this whole creation. He has a plan that all that may live good. That you might live good in peace upon the land. Say, God got me. You need to understand that God got me. Amen. Glory to God. I know God got me. I know he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I know that all the days of my life, no man can stand against me. Glory to God. Somebody praise God in this house. Somebody get hallelujah praise of God. For he is worthy to be praised. Let everything to have birth praise the Lord. Amen. I just get excited about the Word. I get excited about Jesus. I get excited about the Father. I get excited about the Holy Spirit when He works in me, works through me. He has the power. Now, I don't have the power, but I have the power in me. And we are one. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. But we come to this second part of the lesson. Start working for a living. Start living to be I am. You need to start working for a living. It's hard to work for a living. It's hard to work for a living. But it's easy to start living to be I am. Amen. Stressed. You need to be stressed. You don't have to be worried about your life. You don't have to worry about your clothes. Amen. You ain't have to worry about your bills being paid. God's going to take care of you. God got it. Amen. Glory to God. Once you turn your Bible, we're going to talk about a little refresher about what we talked about last week, but it goes on to the lesson. This is a series, and God is trying to get the world to understand. He's trying to get the body of Christ to understand to operate in the kingdom of God. But in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God rules everything. The kingdom of God controls everything. You need to understand that you're part of the kingdom of God, and that the kingdom of God is in you. Amen. You ain't got to want for nothing. God got you. Say, God's got you. God got you. God's got me. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. We start off with this verse. Amen. I want you to turn your Bible to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Amen. Amen. You got it? Let me know that you got it. Amen. Luke chapter 12. Starting at verse 22. He says, then turning to his disciples, Jesus said, this is what I tell you not to worry about everyday life. I'll come out the NLT version. He said, this is what I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you would have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. But life is more than food, and your body is more than clothing. Life is more than food on your table, and your body is more than clothing. He said, look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, but God feed them, and you are far more value to him than any bird. That's the end of things. That you are more value to him than any bird. God loves you more than he loves the bird. You was created in his likeness, in his image. God loved you. If he took care of the birds of the earth, they no sore nor tore, nor they store their houses and barn, yet they don't put their money in their bank, but yet God provide for them daily. He said, now are you more than a bird? Look at the birds of the sky. Look at all the cattle of the land. How God feed them daily on a daily basis, and yet he provide for them, and yet they don't go to work every day, but yet God provide for them. But they do exactly what God created them to do. Amen. Amen. He said, God feed them, and you are more value. This scripture said, you're far more value to him than any bird. Can all your worries add one single moment to your life? If worry can solve your problems, then all I do is worry. But every time I worry about something, it never solved nothing in my life. Every time I worry, the problem became greater and more intense. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know when y'all start worrying, that little hill turned into a mountain. And then become the mountain, and it just overtake you because you're worried about something you have no worry to worry about. If you really trust God, for the Bible says, perfect love casts out all fear. Oh, yes, perfect love casts out all fear. Jesus is perfect love. God is perfect love. If you know that God loves you unconditionally, then he'll never leave you another second. Then he will always provide for you. You don't have to worry about food. You don't have to worry about clothing. Why do you worry about such things? I'm going to tell you why we worry about such things. Because we haven't been captured in his love. We don't trust God. We should trust God. He says, get all your worries, add a single moment to your life. And if you worry, can't accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying about bigger things? If worry can't satisfy the small things, you know when you're worried, you can't solve your small problems. You need to get right away to the store. I'm a worry. I don't know how I'm going to get to the store. God will right away to the store, but you can't take care of the little. If worry can't solve the little things in your life, how can worry solve your big issues in life? You need to understand that. Worry don't solve nothing. It creates problems. It makes it bigger, amen? And then he going to say, he said, look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, all his glory, was not dressed as beautiful as they are. If God cares so wonderful for the flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he would certainly care. We certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? He said, if you provide for the little bit, even Solomon, all his glory was arrayed like one of these little. He clothed them. He provided for them every day. And yet he said, Solomon, all his glory, all the things that, all the things that Solomon had, all his clothes and gold and silver, and all his majesty, priests and kingly robes, it didn't measure to like one of these little. Because when God clothed the lily, he clothed the lily with all it needs. You need to understand, God has all you need already has been given to you. But the Bible says that God has already given us everything pertaining to life in godliness. Amen. He said, and don't be concerned, he goes over and says, oh, why do you have so little faith? Why you don't trust me? Why you don't trust me? I made a way for you. I went all the way to the cross of Calvary for you. Did nobody have to break my leg to go for the cross for me? Because I love for you. I gave you my best. I offered myself to you. I offered myself in replacement of your sins. I was hung on the cross for your sake. And I gave my life for you. And you don't think that I provide for you? When I gave you my best gift, when God gave his best gift to you, I will not freely give you all things. That was the Bible says in Romans 8. He said, if he gave you all things, if he didn't withhold his own son, how will he not really give you all things? He didn't withhold his son, Jesus Christ, for going to the cross. And yet, and you don't believe that he gave the rest to his kingdom? He gave his best. He gave his best. Y'all know parents, father, y'all know what I'm talking about. If you don't mind, if you gave your child your best gift, you don't mind to give him some fruit juice and some cereal and some neck bones and chicken and hog balls. You don't mind giving them the small things, cell phone, when you gave them your best gift, when you gave them life. You don't mind giving them everything that you already have. Amen. In the world, he doesn't stand. God will give you everything. He has already given it to you. You don't have to work for it. He gave it to you. Amen. He says, and don't be concerned about what to eat or what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. He said, and I like the NLT, glory to God. He said, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. But your Father already knows your needs. And oh my Lord. He said, the whole world, the Gentiles, the unbelievers, all over the world, it dominates their thoughts. That's all they think about. It's what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, where I'm going to stay, what house I'm going to get, how is my need to do. They say they worry about these all the time. And it dominates their thought process. And that's all they think about. And they worry about this all day long. And yet they couldn't enjoy the day because they were worried about all the unnecessary things that I was going to provide for them anyway. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world, but your Father already knows you need it. Your Father knows you need it. He ain't got to worry about it. He's a good God. He's not like man. He said, even as you are not to give good gifts to your children, how much more does the Father of lights from heaven give you every good and perfect gift that which comes from above? God said, if you can give your children a good gift, show them me who is a holy God, who is a righteous God, who owns everything already. Not will he provide for you, who owns the cattle on the hill. Everything that you see, God owns. Every business, God owns. Y'all need to, every gold, every silver, God owns. It is healed, and he's going to spread it to his children. He said, seek the kingdom of God above all else. First of all, don't seek anything further greater than the kingdom of God. He says, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. Oh, my Lord. He says, seek. I like NIV. He says, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. That's a good plan. You can't beat that.
Right.
Seek the kingdom of God, and I'll give you everything you need.
Right.
That's a promise from God. He's not like man. He's a liar. Nor shall the Son of Man repent. He said, have I not said, I will not do? Have I not spoken, not made good of it? God was God of his word. He ain't got to change his word. Whatever he says got to come to pass. And so we must seek first the kingdom of God. And all I need will be given to us. All more than we can ask for or think of, he will give to us. Amen. Stop working for a living. Start living to be I am. Amen. I'm getting excited about this. He said, don't be. He said, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. He said, so don't be afraid, little flock. Do not fear. But it gives your father great happiness to give you the kingdom. It gives him great happiness to give you the kingdom. To give you the kingdom. It, God enjoys and blesses his people. He loves giving. It makes God happy. God feels best when he's able to bless you. So ain't the problem that God will bless you. God said, I need you to follow the rules of the kingdom. Seek the kingdom of God first, and everything else will be added to you. All your needs will be met.
Amen.
Don't be afraid, little father. But give your father great happiness to give you the kingdom. It gives him great happiness to give you the kingdom. He wants to. He has. Giving you the kingdom. And all that is in the kingdom is yours. The prodigal son and the other brother. Even with the prodigal son wasted all that God has blessed them with. Some of them God has blessed and they have wasted their time, they have wasted their guilt, they have wasted their money. Yet, but the prodigal son had enough sin to come back to the Father. And when he had enough sense to come to the Father, he gave him the ring. He gave him right fellowship with him. He said, son, he hugged him. He didn't go to him and say, you did this, you did that, you raised all the good that I gave you. You know, he came back with open arms. And that's how God is. It don't matter how much you messed up. It don't matter how much you did wrong. God will bless you if you come to him. But seek the kingdom of God and everything else will be added. Glory to God. He said, oh Lord, mercy. This is awesome. But he said, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. But don't be afraid, little father. But it will give your father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Sell your possession, oh my Lord, and give to those in need. See, God, it's not about you.
Right.
He said, go sell your possession. The early church sold their possession. They made sure that everybody in the Christian family, in that church, in the Christian family, made sure that everybody's need was met. And this is the kingdom of God. They making sure that all our needs is met. They went and did. They used what resources they had. They used their gifts and talent to benefit others. Life is not about you, but what you can do for others.
That's right.
Sell your possession, give to those in need. This will store up treasure you in heaven. in the presence of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it, and no moth can destroy it. Where your treasure is, their desires of your heart will be also. Glory to God. Glory to God. God wants us to use our gifts, our money, our resources, our knowledge, our wisdom to help every individual in the kingdom of God and all of us on the earth. If we start using what God has given us to bless other people, then we have to worry about our needs, because our needs will be met because we're doing the things of the kingdom. Use your gift to help someone. If it's someone in your job that needs prayer, you know you got the prayer of faith. Pray for them. They need healing, heal them. They need deliverance, deliver them. They need food, feed them. They need clothing, clothe them. If they need counsel, counsel them. They need direction, give them directions. It's only when you do what the kingdom of God told you to do that your blessing will be following you. Your blessing will overtake you. It will run you down. It'll run over. The Bible says you do more than we can add or think. Amen? Then he says this. I like this. I want y'all to see this. It says, be dressed for service and keep your mouth burning. In other words, God said, you need to be ready. Because the time will come, I'm going to come. He said, be dressed for service and keep your mouth burning. Keep your fire lit. Keep what I called and decreed you to do. Keep it lit. Keep that light that's in you, that fire that's in you, that's good in you. Keep it going. Hand it out to the people in need. He said, be dressed for service and keep your lamp burning, as though you were waiting for your master to return. You got to be ready. You got to be ready. As though you were waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. Then you will be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knock. The servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. Those who are doing what God called them to do and created to do, and when he comes and he finds them doing his door, they're going to be blessed. They're going to be happy. They're going to be rewarded. Don't be the unjust servant. The servant was ready and waiting for the return will be rewarded. I tell you the truth, he himself would seek them and put them on an apron and he would serve them. God said it. In other words, God said, you do what I call you to do and create what I create you to do and what I put in your heart to do. He said, when I come back, I'm going to serve you. If you want to be a great among all, be a servant to all. And Jesus said, when he comes back, he's going to serve you. That's an awesome God. Since he was talking about this morning, he's talking about how what God done for us. He came out of his glory, who owned everything, already had everything, and yet he came to help us, to save us, to save them which is lost. He gave up everything to make us rich. That is the life that we should give everything up for the kingdom of God and God's glory. Amen. He said, I tell you the truth, he himself would sit down and fall on apron and serve them as they sit and eat. He might come in the middle of the night or just for dawn, but whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready. Be ready, Kiwan. Be ready, Riri. Be ready, Spirit. We got to be ready. But whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready. Understand this, if a homeowner knew exactly when they burglar was coming, he would not permit his house to be broken in. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come and when you least expect it. Mm-hmm. You can't say, well, I'm going to serve God when I'm on my deathbed. God said, no, I gave you plenty of opportunity to serve me. I gave you plenty of opportunity to serve the people. I have blessed you with different gifts and talents, and yet you did nothing with it. You remember that parable one with the five talent, one with the two talent, one with the one talent? How the one with the five talent, he used all his ability and all his resources, and God blessed him with five more. God gave him double for his trouble. One and two, he did the same thing. He increased his gift, and God blessed him with two more. But the one who had one gift, he decided to not use it. He thought that one gift was going to make a difference. I'm telling you something, one gift can change the world. That one gift, he hid it and dug in the ground. And Jesus said, you wicked and lazy servant. And he cast him out to the darkness with gnashing of the teeth. Because he didn't want to do nothing for other people. All he wanted to do was for himself. He was so lazy, he didn't want to offer himself nothing. That is a lazy servant. And everybody that you see in this world has a gift and time and a resourceful and is blessed. When God created you, he created you with a purpose and a plan for your life, which is good. But if you hear what God has given to the world, and you put that lamp up on the bed and do nothing what God has given you, you will find yourself miserable into the outer darkness, gasping the teeth. So he said, understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when the burglar was coming, he would not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready at all times, for the Son of Man will come when you least expect it. And Peter asked this question. Peter asked, Lord, is that illustration just for us or for everyone? And the Lord replied, a faithful, sensible servant is the one whom the master can give responsibility of managing his other household servant and feeding them. Let me read it again. A faithful, sensible servant is the one whom the master can give responsibility of managing his other household servant and feeding them. Peter began to ask questions. Is this parable just for us or for everybody? Jesus asked the question. Whoever so will, whoever is faithful, sir, who find him, when God come back, when Jesus come back, find him doing what God has called and created him to do. Manage his other household, other households, not just your household, but anybody else's household who needs. Amen. Serve and feed them. If the master return and find that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth, the master will put the servant in charge of all he owns. If God cannot trust you with worldly riches, small things, if you can't do nothing what you got right now, in other words, what you got right now is enough to bless someone in need. If you ain't gonna bless someone with what you got now, you sure enough ain't gonna bless somebody when God has blessed you with the cup running over.
That's right.
If you're set with little things, you'd be set with great things. Amen?
Amen.
You're not gonna do it. It don't matter where you're at in your life right now. In other words, it don't matter what you have, you got enough right now to bless other people. You got enough now to serve other people. Amen? If he says, Lord, this is just for us or for everyone. And the Lord replied, a faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master gives the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth, the master will put the servant in charge of all he owes. But if the servant thinks, my master won't be back for a while, and he began beating the other servant, pardoning and getting drunk. That faithful servant, God gonna find what he doing. When he come back, he gonna find that his servant doing what he created to do. He said, but the master won't be back. The other servant said, but what if the servant thinks my master won't be back for a while, and begin beating the other servant, pardoning, getting drunk? That unjust servant who misuse his goods, his resources, his gifts, his talent, his money, and he does no good. He said, I'm going to go ahead and do what I'm going to do. I'm going to misuse people. I'm going to beat other people out of money. I'm going to be the unjust servant. I'm going to be screwing. I'm going to con people to all what I want. It don't matter what I'm going to do. I'm going to get mine, and I'm gonna, everybody's got to get theirs. I'm going to tell you something. You live that life right there. God has something for you. He said, but if my servant thinks my master won't be back for a while and begin being the other servant and party and getting drunk, then my master will return announced and unexpected, and he will cut the servant in pieces and banish him with the unfaithfulness. He said, God said, when I come and I find you misusing my people, well, who will come for this? From the president to the kings to the preachers, the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the evangelists, all businessmen, all CEOs, all who are on the earth. You are misusing God's people. You're going to have to answer to God. For all those who come here who misuse those people, I live in a town where company misuse their people. They don't care about the people they work for. I know one who worked 25 years for a company, and they fire her, and they say, they ain't getting her no package, they get her no retirement, they get no package thing, they just go. What kind of love is that? She gave her 45 years of her life to that company, and yet the company don't care about that. I'm telling you, every company where I declare in the name of Jesus, every company that is not for the people of God and for the children of God, they need to be shut down or new management there. In the name of Jesus Nazareth. If you're not going to provide for the people, if you're going to not make the life of people better, then I'm going to need to be shut down. Or you need to have a change of heart. I'm sick and tired of people being misused in all these workplaces and every office. The president, Congress, senators. All they want is for themselves. But they can get it. But I got something for you. And God has something for you. God said, I'm going to cut you in half. I'm going to break down. I'm going to take what you have and I'm going to give to the righteous. That's why the Bible says that the work of the rich is stored up for the just. And all the people of God have to do is start working for a living and start living to be I am. And we start going for us and start concerned about other people and not ourselves, this world will change. But all the people in Congress and presidents, all of the country, may all CEOs who have all these, God bless you with $1 billion. Much is given, much is required. If God bless you with millions, then God expect you to give some of those millions away. To bless the kingdom of God, for the gospel go forth and preach, that people who are hungry be fed. But if you don't, there comes the day of judgment. That he says in his word, he said, I tell you the truth, that if my soul who put that servant in charge, he all your, but if the servant thinks that his master won't be back for a while and begin to beat the other servants, misuse them, mistreat them, and pardon and get drunk, the master return and he will return unannounced, he says. And unexpected, he said, you don't know when I'm going to come back. You don't know when I'm going to show up in your life. It might not be a time when you got time to go home for your life. I might come back in a time when you're doing my service wrong. And he said he will cut the servant in pieces. And he will banish him from the unfaithful. What God said, what I have blessed you with, if you do no good with it, I take it from you. Then he goes on and says, it is servant who knows what the master wants, but isn't prepared and doesn't carry out those instructions will be severely punished. And you know what's right. And the people of God, the Christians, we know what's right. We know we must feed the poor and clothe the naked and visit those in prison and counsel those who need counseling and preach the gospel all around the world. And lay hands on the sick. And cast out the demon. And raise the dead. That's what the kingdom of God is for. Is to bless the people. To preach the gospel. To feed the home. And get home to the homeless.
and heal the sick, and cast out demons, and to raise the sick, and to raise the dead. God has empowered us to do good and not evil. So all of those who are in the kingdom of God, it's time to rise up and start serving the world, and start serving God, and start serving your people, that God's name might be glorified. And then when he comes back, the reward for you is going to be great. He says this. But someone who does not, he said, and a servant who knows what the master wants, but isn't prepared and doesn't carry out those instructions, will be severely punished. God said, you know what's right, and you don't do it. He said, he's going to whoop you. I've been whooped. And God said, I'm going to whoop you. And whoop you. You know how when you tell your kids to do something, you teach them what's right, and they don't do it, and you whoop them? And you're going to whoop them again. And whoop them again. Why? Why would you whoop someone again and again? Especially if they know better. If I showed you and told you what's right into the ways of the kingdom, and you don't do it, it's like a parent who teach their child how to go about doing things, how to go about this, and you don't do it, and we whoop you. It is just. God is just.
That's right.
When he told us what to do, and the kingdom of God will sit down and let Satan run rapidly and let people do without. Shame on us. Shame on you. Shame on me. And you ought to be ashamed of ourselves. For the kingdom of God don't operate like that. He says this. He said, but someone who does not know and does something wrong will be punished lightly. Even the ones who don't know the truth, you're still going to be punished lightly. They're going to be severe to those who know.
Right.
But if God knows, and you live this life, and he gave you his spirit, and he created you, and you got the DNA of God in you, and you know right or wrong in your conscience. So no man can say, every man, he got to believe Jesus, he got to accept Jesus. Every man is hard, though, when he steals something, he's wrong. He got no God, though, that's wrong. The world teaches you that. Amen? But someone who does not know and does something wrong will be punished only lightly. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. Much God bless you, much is required of you. And God, I've been to churches that had plenty of money. And people come in and need help, and they don't want to give but a little $20. And God said, that's not the way my kingdom operates. I had blessed you so much, but you offer so little. How can we be so selfish? Selfish. Well, you're selfish, things are not going to turn out good for you. He says, I had come to set the world on fire. And I wish it were already burning. Mm-hmm. I had a terrible baptism of suffering ahead of me. And I'm a heavy burden until it accomplished. He himself on a heavy burden. But yet he's going to the cross for us. He said, do you think that I had come to bring peace to the earth? No, I had come to divide the people against each other. That they might do, he said, I come to separate those who will serve me and those who won't serve me. And the question was then, he said, I'm going to serve God. And I'm going to start working for them. I'm going to start living just for me, or I'm going to start living for the kingdom of God. And I'm going to start doing the thing that God created me to do. I told you the last lesson that you go outside with the bird, they do what they were created to do. They fly and God drive to the daily. On a daily basis of their life. God still provides for them. Are you not more valued than the birds?
oh, you a little faith. I want you to turn your Bible to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Starting at verse 1. He said, on that day he called together his 12 disciples. I'm going to give you some examples. Those who know their purpose and their calling for their life. God expects you to do what you've called and created to do, amen. I'll give you an example of how you do what you're created to do. God will give you the rest. He'll bless you. You do what you're created to do. That means stop working for yourself. Stop working for a living. And start being what I am. But in that one where he says, one day Jesus called together his 12 disciples. And he gave them power and authority to cast out all demons. And to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God. To heal the sick. He gave them power. He gave them power and authority. And he gave every believer power and authority to cast out all demons, to heal all diseases. And the simple thing we must ask ourselves as Christians and disciples of Jesus, if he has given us power, yeah, I know he has, but he said the word. He gave them power and authority to cast out all demons, not some demons, but all demons. I don't care how big and tough they are. He gave the power to cast demons out, all of them, and to heal all diseases. Hey, believers, God has given us the power to heal those who have HIV, people who have AIDS and cancer. He's giving you the power and the authority to change lives. He gives it to the church. Church, don't stand still now. But go out and lay hands on all sickness. Tell all diseases must leave in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He said, but he gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God to heal the sick. Then this is what I want you to understand. You do what God created you and called you to do. Then the whole church has given power to heal the sick, cast out demons. That's one of the things that God has given to every believer. He said to them, to everyone, about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He said this thing, take nothing for your journey. I want you to see this. He said, take nothing for your journey. That means, he said, he instructed them, Don't take a walking stick, a traveling bag, food, or money, or even a change of clothes. He said, don't take nothing with you. Wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave town. And if a town refuses to welcome you, shake it the dust from your feet as you leave the show that you had abandoned those people to their fate. Then he said, so they began their circuit of the village of preaching the good news and healing the sick. God told them to heal the sick, cast them, he gave them power and authority to do good on the land. People are suffering. Satan is destroying many lives, even our family lives. People in our close circle, people in our job, Satan is running rapid, and he has given the church the power and authority to do something. He gave the kingdom to you to do something. And you don't know it. You see, people need healing. You don't lay hands on them in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Are you that good servant? Somebody's demons are terrorizing them. You know it, and you do nothing about it. Or you that unjust servant. But he told them, take no money bag, no shoes, no clothing, no food, or nothing for the journey. Why did he tell them? He said, because when you do the things of the kingdom, I'll provide for you. Everything you need will be provided. But remember, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else be added to you. God has given the church power and authority to do good in the land. Go around and do good and love people. He said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And you're gifted. Not only that you can heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead. He said, but you're good in counseling or manage money. Manage other people's money. Get your business, manage other people. And also bless, get other people's jobs that you can bless them with. But when you do find it, when God will give you your business, love them as Christ loved the church. Treat them good. Treat them fairly. I bet some jobs in my life, I see other people go to these jobs and job mistreat them. They show favoritism to one. All this racism and all this prejudice got to stop. But God said, love your neighbor, love yourself. Guess what? When we show prejudice and racism towards people and don't do for them and mistreat them, God is watching. And you want to be held accountable for how you mistreat people. We are held accountable for how we mistreat people. No one is better than no one. We are all equal in Christ Jesus. I don't care if you black, white, Chinese, Puerto Rican. It doesn't matter. Just give me a chance to tell the world. Drink, that ain't nothing but a piece of dirt. Your skin color ain't but nothing but dirt. You mess about dirt. Your out of body ain't nothing but dirt. And you mess about dirt. Want to see yourself better than other people. That ain't nothing but dirt. And you mess about some dirt. Where your perception at? Is your eyes dark? Or your eyes that light? Listen, provide. What God has blessed you with and trusted you with. Whatever given, whatever time that God given you, He entrusted you to do good upon the land. No matter what it is, if you cut grass, you're good. God gave you a business cutting grass. Do it good. Go cut somebody else's yard for free. Make their yard look good. It look real nice. See, everybody can do something for somebody. You can do something special for somebody. No matter what gift, what talent. You know, you can always have money to do good. Right. Like that, we were talking about the man that was sitting by the beautiful gates. How he, from day one, he was crippled. Peter and John said, seven gold I do not have, but what I do have in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. No, they, Peter and John, they had on silver and gold today, but they had what the man needed, the good man needed. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I'm giving you another example. Don't go to the 12 disciples. Now I want to show you about the 7 disciples, okay? I want you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Amen. It's just next door. Luke chapter 10. Starting in verse 1. He said, the Lord chose 72 other disciples. And those people said, well, there was the apostles there. There's only one faith. There's only one spirit. There's only one faith. There's only one baptism. It's the same spirit in all. The same spirit that was in Jesus, the same spirit was in the apostles, the same spirit was in the apostles, the same spirit is in you. The same spirit was in these 70 disciples. Amen. He said, the Lord chose these 72 other disciples. And he sent them ahead and prepared them to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. Now go and remember that I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Do not, there you go again. Do not take any money with you, nor a traveling bag, nor any extra pair of sandals. And do not stop to greet anyone on the road. Whenever you enter someone's house, first say, may God peace be on this house. If those who live there are people, the blessing will stand. If they're not, the blessing will return to you. So you have a blessing when you came in. They had something to offer the people to their house. They come in peace. The seven disciples want to bless them with something, but they don't want to receive it. He said that the blessing will return to you. Amen. If it is not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place. Any drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality because those who work deserve their pay. You don't have to worry. He said, don't, there you go again. Don't hesitate, no clue, no. No food, no clothes, no sandals, no money bags, nothing. He said that a worker is worthy of his wages. God's going to pay you. God's going to be the one to pay you. God's going to be the one to pay you. When we start working for a living, start living to be I am, we will see God bless us on our life. If God bless us, will overtake you. You don't have to worry about that. He will bless you. Then I want to show you something. Okay, I went to verse 11, but I want to go on to verse 17 through 20. It says, when the 72 disciples returned, they drew and reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. This he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. And you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because evil spirit obey you, but rejoice because your name are registered in heaven. He said all the days of your life, no demon can overcome you, can overtake you. He has given you power over every demon, every serpent, every scorpion. He's giving you power. That means you can help any battle who's dealing with a demon possessed. You know someone who is demon possessed, God has given you authority to tell that demon to leave in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He has given you authority and power to do, to make a change in people's lives. The church has the power. The church is the most powerful organism on earth. And God has set us to, as the church, to be examples. So the world can make see his glory. That God is the God of God. And he's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. God loves to give to you. He had no problem giving to you. But he got this principle. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and everything that's to be added to your life. You don't have to worry about food and clothing. All you got to worry about is doing good. All you got to do is heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, feed the poor, open up business that somebody else might provide it for. Do these things. If God entrusts you with a business, then you need to make sure that all the people in your business are taken care of and treated fairly and rightly. And God bless the same thing with ministry. You need to treat the people out in your ministry right. Amen.
That's right.
You must love them. Amen. We get to love our neighbors. We love ourselves. We want to live this life that God has given us. This world will be a better place. But the choice is up to us. He has given us the power and authority to do it. The question is, we ask ourselves, are we going to do it? Or are you going to come back? And they find us drinking and partying and mistreat his creation. For Jesus says, what you do to the least of them, you do unto me. And you do to a man that's on crack, on heroin, whatever, out there, and you treat him bad. Jesus said, you do it, you did it unto me. If you got friends and race in your heart, you don't like black people, you don't like white people, you don't like Puerto Rican or Spanish or Chinese or Vietnamese, and you mistreat them because they race. God said, you mistreat me. Even your enemy. God said, when you see your enemy and you mistreat him, you mistreat me. The one we think least deserve our kindness and our love and our resources and our gifts and our talent, our money and our time. And we don't give to them. We need the same thing to Jesus. I know some people might understand that. Well, how can it be? How can that do to you? Your disciple want to know. How can because I think this is to his version, the idea to you, Jesus, I'm going to give you an answer. All was created in his likeness and image. A person, every man, every little creature came from God. And what you do to them, you do to God. I don't matter what it is or who it is. Even when we mistreat dogs or cats, we give it to God. You know you don't want to be mistreated. You know you don't want to be talked about. So why we do what we do? It's a selfish act when we don't do the things of the kingdom of God. Amen. And my last scripture today. Another example of showing you when you do what you created to do, all things gonna work out for you. When you turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles. Amen. Chapter 1, starting at verse 6. Amen. You got to say amen. Okay, so during in front of the tabernacle, Solomon went up to the bronze altar and Lord present and sacrificed 1,000 burnt offering on it. That night, God appeared to Solomon and said, "What do you want?" "Ask," God told Solomon, "ask, and I will give it to you." Listen to Solomon's response. Solomon replied to God, "You showed great and faithful love to David, my father. Now you have made me king in his place. O Lord God, please continue to keep your promise to David, my father, for you have made me king over people as numerous as the dust of the earth." Listen what Solomon asked. This is the question you need to ask. Solomon asked God. He could ask God for anything he want. But what you're about to see that Solomon about to add is show Solomon what Solomon's heart said. "Give me the wisdom and the knowledge to lead them properly." Solomon asked, God anointed him king and made him king. And Solomon asked for wisdom and knowledge to lead them properly. He didn't ask for himself. He didn't ask for riches. But he asked that it might benefit the people that God had put under him. He was concerned about the well-being of the people than it was of himself. He asked for wisdom and knowledge. He said, "Give me the wisdom and knowledge to lead them properly. For who could possibly govern this great people of yours?" And listen to what God said to Solomon. God said to Solomon, "Because your greatest desire is to help your people. Your greatest desire should be, how can I help these people? God, how can I help your people? What can I do? Give me the wisdom and the knowledge to lead them, provide for them, and show them what you have in store for them." And God said to Solomon, "Because your great desire is to help your people, and you did not ask for wealth, riches, and fame, or even the death of your enemy." He could ask for a lot of things. He said, "But whatever you ask for, I'm going to give it to you." He said, "You didn't ask for riches. You didn't ask for wealth. Not even ask for fame.
We got to ask God, bring God, give us that. You see that in Solomon. He said, even the devil, you know, somebody asked God, if you, what do you want? Some people might say, I want
my enemy destroyed.
But Solomon's heart was to all mankind and all people. And this is how our heart should be, to all mankind and all people. He said, God said, Solomon, because your greatest desire to help your people, and you did not ask for wealth and riches, fame, or even the death of your enemy, or a long life. He didn't ask, even ask for life. He said, rather you ask for wisdom and knowledge to proper govern my people. See? His concern was for God's concern. When you're concerned about God, things of God, God bless you, God take care of you. He said, because you didn't ask for that, but to govern my people, I will certainly, without a shadow of doubt, will give you wisdom and knowledge you quit, but I will also give you wealth, riches, and fame, such as no other king has before, and you will ever be in the future. Because Solomon had a righteous heart. Because he asked for the benefits of the people and not himself. He asked and God gave him what he didn't ask. And he gave him plenty of riches. He gave him wisdom and knowledge. He gave him plenty of riches. Solomon had all he had. Because his heart was right for the people. He wanted to help the people. The question is, are you serving the people? But Jesus said, you want to be great, you must be a servant to all. What you ask of God is amiss. See, you can ask God for something, you'd be asking amiss. What about what you can do for his people? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else be added to you. You have to do what God call you and created you to do. When you do that, everything else will be added to your life. You don't have to worry about nothing else. Blessing will overtake you like it did in Solomon. Amen. Amen. But that's the end of the message of this series, this part two, of Start Working for a Living, Start Living to Be I Am. Praise to God. Hallelujah. Amen. May the blessing of God overtake you. Remember, who will you serve this day? Seek the kingdom of God that is righteous, and everything else will be added. Amen. We say goodbye today from love and faith and mission. May God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen.